Our Father in heaven, we thank you for a good day like this. Thank you for this week in which we have been celebrating your creation, the families. As we have gathered together as your people once again today, we ask that your Holy Spirit will open our hearts, give us understanding, give us insight into your word that is coming forth in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that we speak your word alone, and not speak human wisdom, but only that which will edify your people and make the families become precisely what you want them to be. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To you be all the glory. In Jesus' name we are prayed.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
All
the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
If you believe that, shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
If you are happy you are alive this morning, shout a very loud amen. If you know the reason why you are alive is because of the grace of God, not because of your own doing. If you know the reason why you are alive is because God has shown you mercy, not because of your own good works. I want to shout a very loud amen.
Amen.
Now, today we have gathered once again. And before I begin to preach, I would like to give honor to whom honor is due. First of all, we thank our Lord Jesus Christ for this opportunity. But I want to also thank our pastor and our elders who have given me the opportunity to come and share the word of God with the people of God this morning. As you know, I'm not a member of this church, but I'm a member of the church of God on this earth. I'm your brother, even though I don't physically come here to fellowship. But not every place we allow somebody who's not a regular member to hold their microphone and speak to the people on a Sunday morning. So I do not take that opportunity lightly. And so I appreciate you. I thank you very much, sir. May God bless you and continue to increase your ministry in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now today I'm speaking on the subject, building our families God's way. And we listened to the scripture reading this morning, one from the Old Testament, that from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, and another one from the New Testament, from the book of Ephesians chapter 5 into chapter 6. Now, before I pass comments on that, I have a number of things I want to say. First of all, let me first start by explaining something which a lot of us often neglect to pay attention to. And that is the fact that the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, or they are not fleshly, but that they are mighty through God. There's one scripture I want us to read, which is very important. It's also highlighting that point about the weapons of our warfare not being carnal, but this time around from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, what I want to read here is very, very important. The Bible says from verse 1, it said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." This is the New King James Version. "The evidence of things not seen." He said, "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith," he says in verse 3, "we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Now, this is one verse of scripture I personally love a lot. It says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." This is what it means. Please look up from your Bible now. This is what that means. It means that what we see physically, or events that are going on at the particular moment, did not come about because of some physical things that happened before them. This is a good example I like to give at this particular point in time. Now, for example, in the Muslim world right now, you know, you see there's what they call the Arab Spring. In Egypt, there was a riot, and then Mubarak lost his seat, and then somebody else has taken over from him now. The same thing, of course, actually started from Tunisia. And then it went across, of course, to Egypt and Libya. And then Syria tried to do it, and it did not work. Bahrain tried to do it, it did not work. Now, if you watch the news all the time, people be analyzing what happened and what did not happen. The Bible says that whatever those analyses you hear them give, those things are not true. Because the words were framed by the word of God. So that the things that are seen were not made out of things that are visible. If you hear a CNN analyst analyze that, it's because people got tired. It's not true. The truth is that God had proposed that at this particular point in time, something would change. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, in Nigeria, the same thing happened. You hear governments go, government come, you know, changes. But when you see things happen, for example, when Babangida left and then Abacha died and all of that, people say it's because Nadeko was fighting. The Bible says, no, it is not so. It is because God had proposed that this particular point in time, something new is going to happen. What am I trying to explain? Spiritual things control what happens on this earth. We must understand that. Another thing I used to like to explain this is when you see maybe somebody is doing very well in life, was using money as an example now, materially he seems to be prospering. And when people now sit and say, why? They say, oh, it is because his father was very rich. It is because his father was a governor. It is because he went to school in the United States and he had an MBA from Harvard. And they analyze all of those things. Those are the things that are visible. But the Bible says the things that are seen did not come out of the things which are visible. The reason why that man is prospering is not because of those things that you have seen. It's actually things that are invisible. There are traits inside him which you cannot identify. And that is the reason why the number of people prospering who went to good schools and who had rich fathers is not higher than the number of people prospering who went to bad schools and had poor fathers. Are you getting my point? The fact in life is that the physical things we see, they do not control the events that come after. The things that control the events that come after are spiritual. Now, I just want to lay that foundation because it's very important that we understand that as Christians, our lives are not physical lives. Our lives are spiritual lives. And we must tackle everything we are doing in life from the spiritual perspective. I'm talking this morning about building our families, all right, God's way. Now, there is a way that is God's way, and there is a way that is not God's way. Now, let me say something else, which I need to explain. Life has two phases to it. Every event in life has two phases. What do I mean by phases? Now, if I need mangoes, let's assume I like the kind of mangoes that grow in Enugu, and I bought a big plot of land, and I want mangoes to grow there. The first day I buy that land, assume it is empty, it is clear. I am not going to find mangoes there, true or false? True. If I want mangoes there, do I go and uproot mango trees from somewhere else and I come and plant it there? What do? I put the seed. It might take a while for it to germinate and begin to give me my own mango fruits. But first of all, I must put a seed. It is what the Bible calls seed time. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. That is, if I want my mangoes, I don't go out to go and look for mango trees. I go to look for mango fruit and mango seed. And then I plant my mango seed, and mango fruit, after a process of time, automatically is my portion. Now, we understand these things stating it like that. But where we often make a mistake is when it comes to things like building our families. We often think that there are methods. Remember, I started by saying that our lives are spiritual. Are you getting my point? Now, we think there are methods. Sometimes somebody will sit down and be pointing at, look at, you know, one thing my mother used to do those days, I learned never to do it. Parents will sit down and say, look at your friend. You know, you're talking to your child now. Look at Emeka, he has done this. Look at the other fellow. Look at Mike. Look at this. And you mention all those things. Thank God our children are not supposed to talk back at us. But one of the things the children should actually ask you is that, have you done for me and to me the things that those parents did for their own children? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? We often point at the fruit in other people's lives without looking at the seed that was planted in those lives. Let me give you an illustration. Recently, the school that my first son went to, he has left now, he's in secondary school. But my wife is very active in the school because I have my other children there. And once one of the parents was saying something, and he used my son as a reference, something about it. Because he was trying to explain some issues he had with his school and all of that. So why he might be removing his children. And he now gave my first son as an example because he did very well in his class. He was very, very good, all right? And the school really loved him. And when they come for prize-giving stuff, he will win a lot of prizes. So the man now mentioned his name and tried to he now told them that this is the kind of thing he expects them to be doing for every child. My wife happened to have been there at that particular point in time. So she collected the phone and said, hello, sir, I am Akin's mommy. That's my son's name. I said, listen, You are referring to how my son performs in school. Let me tell you what I do. Number one, I resigned my job as a banker to take care of him after he was born. Number two, every day I get home, I teach him myself every evening. Listen, if you come to my house in the evening, all right, I laugh at my wife. She will sit down with all the children. They are doing homework. From that she gets home, they do all homework throughout. And he said to the man, listen, the school did not make my son. I did. Now, we're giving the glory to God, but you understand the principle I'm trying to explain here. That is, you look at the fruit in somebody else's life, but you are not careful to check the seed that was planted inside that life. We must understand this. We are spiritual people. Our seeds are basically spiritual seeds. Are you getting my point? Now, for the things that we want in life, I said life has two phases. There is seed time, and there is what? Harvest time. Now, what God gives us as the ability, the opportunity that God has given us to be able to control the events of this life is not when it comes to the harvest time, it's only when it comes to seed time. I like what the Oswald Chambers says, and I quote him that thing a lot. He says that God has given us the ability to choose our actions, but he has not given us that ability when it comes to choosing the result. Do you follow my point? That is, there are things in life that they actually result. They are fruits. They are not the things that we can choose. What we can choose, you know, if we want. For example, he said to them, choose life. He said, today, I set before you life and death. You understand? A blessing and a curse. He said, choose life that you and your descendants might live. How do you choose life? By obeying these words that I'm commanding you today. Are you getting my point? The way by which you choose life is not to get up and say, hey, I choose life. Life is my portion. We come to church and shout, life is my portion. You go for all-night prayer and shout, this year I receive life, I receive life. And it is very good desire. But Moses said, that is not how you will get the life. That's the beginning. That's a stirring up of your desire. So if you want the life, what do? You start obeying these words that I'm commanding you today. What does that mean? Life is the fruit, obedience is the seed. What did I say? Life is the fruit, obedience is the seed. When we obey the word of God, then we reap the fruit of life. Now, so I'm trying to make out something here. When it comes to our families, therefore, when we want to build families God's way, there are two things I'm going to emphasize this morning. One, this is the first one I'm already emphasizing, is the seed time, which is the spiritual side of our building. Now, let me say another thing. Once we have laid the right foundation, which is the spiritual side, which is the seed side, then what we see outwardly are what I call the pillars. Let me explain that. I believe when you're looking at a building, this is something about it you must understand. The most important part of a building is what? Is what? The foundation. Now, have you noticed foundations cannot be seen? When you finish the foundation, what do? You cover it. Anything seen outside is, you see the pillars, you see the walls, you see the roof. You understand? After the foundation, if it's a very big building you are building, you need to have very strong pillars. Now, one of the things I found out in life, you read, especially these days, I mean, Americans, well, we'll talk about them a lot because whether we like it or not, that's the greatest nation on the earth today, physically speaking. And they used to export the greatest number of gospel. And they have the highest number of problems, you understand? And then they tell us about everything. No, look at it now. When the government in Bolivia is changing, do you know? Some people say, what is Bolivia? Even if they are changing government in Russia, we only know small. Most people don't even know. But once America is changing their president, the whole world will know. The whole world comes to a standstill. Newspaper headline all over the world will be saying, hey, Barack Obama elected for second term. You understand? So it's just right for us to know the things that happen in America. Now, as a matter of fact, in America, half of the marriages there break down. A man marries a woman he loves with all his life, with all his kidneys, his stomach, his liver, everything. A few years later, he's punching her as if this is Jezebel Incorporated, you know? And after a while, they divorce themselves. And this is sad part of it. It's just like that in the church also. All right, the church is just affected these days. In fact, if you watch TV closely, all those preachers you see on TV, half of them are in their second marriages. There's one popular musician. If I mention the name, all of you will know it, but I don't want to mention it because I'm preaching. Eh? The day I heard she had been married 4 times, I couldn't believe it. 4 times. Ah! I said, wait. Are you the Samaritan woman at the well? Does Jesus need to come and visit you again? He has already visited you now. You're a Christian. Now, they have all those kind of problems. And I pray Nigerians don't inherit them. Now, this is why I'm talking about it. So they write a lot of books on how to preserve your marriage, how to preserve your home. And when I read a lot of those books, I'm sorry to say it, I am disappointed. I watch those things being taught on TV, I am disappointed. This is my reason. If you are teaching it to an unbeliever, I have no problem, it is good. If you are teaching it to a Muslim, it's fine. Go to Guru Maharaj's camp and teach them, it's okay. But when we are teaching Christians, things must come from a different perspective. Things must come from a different perspective. What happens sometimes is that people have made a mess of the foundation. They are telling you how to keep the building standing by putting a stone here and putting trees to hold the pillar and then to use a suction machine to put the roof in the sky. And the problem is that the foundation is destroyed. And the Bible says no matter how wise you are as a righteous man, there's nothing you can do if the foundation is destroyed. What am I saying? When we want to build things, let's focus on that foundation first. And that foundation is spiritual. It is spiritual. Every other thing we discuss outside, they are the pillars, they are the walls, they are the roofs of the building. They don't really hold the building up. I will mention a few of those things. And you hear them, they are very good. For example, in building a very strong family, I think you should talk with your children. You should hug your children. A lot of us African men, we don't realize this. You are not going to put up your hand, all right? Don't put up your hand, all right? But if you are above the age of 50, think about it in your heart, and you're a man here, and you have daughters, ask yourself, have I ever given my daughter a hug and said to her, I love you? Don't answer me, don't put up your hand. I didn't come here to embarrass you this morning. So, just think about it. Not only men, what about us women? We think it's a white man's thing. It's not a white man's thing. Everybody wants to know that he or she is loved. I'll tell you the truth. Let me just say this to us briefly. I'll get back to my message. Remember the story of this woman that was caught in the act of adultery and Jesus refused to condemn her. Can you remember? They brought her. Those people must have been Muslims or something. They brought her to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, you know, when I read the story of Muslims these days, I wonder whether those Jews were Muslims. They behave alike. They said, look, we are going to stone this woman. But Moses said, that's what we should do. What do you say? And the Lord Jesus, let me summarize it, said to them, anyone amongst you, all right, listen to this, that's without sin. Actually, I don't want to discuss that one further. The sin he mentioned was actually specific. But let's not go into it. But any one of you that's without sin, throw the first stone. And then none of them did. And then they all walked away. Then they asked the woman, where are your accusers? Said, they are all gone. All right? Okay. Say, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, there are two ways to look at that. And both of them are correct, but one is deeper than the other. The first way to look at it is that Jesus is a very merciful person. Right? And was he merciful? Yeah, no, there's no catch to it. Was he merciful? Yes, he was. He was a very merciful person. And he's still a merciful person. And that's why you are still alive. You understand? The fact that you are here is a sure sign that Jesus is very merciful. Amen? The fact that I'm standing here is a sure sign. So we know that. Okay? Now, but in that woman's case, it was beyond that. Because he said, anyone without sin, throw the first stone. What was he saying? That this young woman is not by herself a sinner. She's a reflection of what the rest of you are. And it will be wrong of you to judge her. When Moses gave that commandment, he expected all of you to come with clean hands. And none of you has clean hands. What am I saying? A lot of times we are pointing at how some of our daughters are misbehaving. This girl is loose. She's following boys up and down. The girl is asking somebody, please love me. You have never told her you love her. Yet you want to stone her for looking for love. You know what God is saying? Take the first stone, crack your own skull. When you have cracked your skull, you cannot start throwing the other one at her. That you are as guilty in that event as she is. Most of the times, if any young man or any young woman is, maybe she's 16, 17, the guy is 18, 19, and the person is misbehaving, 99% of the times the parents are to blame. That is a matter of fact. It doesn't mean they taught him how to shoot people. It just means they did not teach him how not to shoot people. I'm going somewhere. So definitely we'll talk about those things. Those are the outward things. But first of all, please, don't forget this. First of all, the things that are important are the spiritual ones, and they're actually the seeds we are planting into the lives of our children. I just gave us an example, all right, to let us know that it's good to hug your children, tell them you love them, affirm them if they do well in school, you understand? Tell them, oh, that is very good. If they don't do well, don't say, look at you, don's head. Who did he inherit it from? Don't say that. What do you do? Why are you not doing well? Ask questions. I'm going ahead of myself, but I just feel like sharing some of these things. Ben Carson's story, if you've never read this book, Gifted Hands, please take the book, especially if you're a parent, and read it. In Ben Carson's story, I'll get back to the story in a moment. The mother, I'll get back to that story. The mother was a single woman. That is, the father had left them. And she had to work hard. She was not educated to take care of her two sons. Let's make a long story short. When the boys were not doing well in school, she did not tell them that, look, are you useless boys? What am I going to do with you? She said, all of you, go to bed. Let me go and pray and hear what the Holy Spirit will say in how to solve this your problem. By the time the Holy Spirit told her what to do, her son, Ben Carson, became the most famous neurosurgeon in the world at the end of the day. And the Holy Spirit just told her something simple. And she woke up, the boy said he could not sleep because he was afraid of what the Holy Spirit told the mother. And when the Holy Spirit, when the woman came up the next morning, the Holy Spirit has spoken. What did the Holy Spirit say? Holy Spirit said, from now on, no television in this house. You can only watch two programs a week, which will be on weekends. You come, my wife practices that. You come to my house. In fact, my son will come, my smallest boy, he will come and say, Daddy, is today weekend? I say, no. Then he will go back. Next evening, he will come. Is today weekend? I say, listen, my friend, you know weekend. It starts on Friday evening. Because their mother has read that in Riot Act. Nobody goes near the television from Monday morning till Friday evening. No, you don't go near. Even if there's no work, go and lie down and be meditating on your bed. And for Ben Carson, it worked. The point I'm just making there, you see, that was something the woman did rather than condemning the son. But those are the pillars. Let's get back to the foundation. I'm going to give a number of points, which I call the foundations for building a very strong home. First of all, let's start by saying that it is primarily the duty of the fathers, assisted very closely by the mothers. And it is never the responsibility of the children to build a strong home. They are part of the things you are building, all right? So I'm going to address just the parents this morning. First of all, this is the first foundation. This is the first seed. This is the first, listen to this. This is the first and most important seed for building a strong family, a blessed family, God's way. Please, what did I call it? The first and most important seed. This is the foundational spiritual side. Which other word do I use to make it clear that this is very important? I think I've used the best words, right? Okay. So what is it? Let's first read. I'll read from the book of Hosea chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, quickly open to it. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea is the second book in the New Testament. Okay, I just want to be sure you are following me. All right, one of the prophets in the Old Testament. Please, I want you to understand this. I want to make my first point that the first and most important thing when it comes to building a strong family is what I want to point out here. And that is the fact that the fathers, the parents, that is the mothers also, must first of all be building a very strong spiritual life. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. This is the kingdom of God and his righteousness in this matter. First and foremost, we parents must be building, that must be the primary thing, that you are building a strong spiritual life. Once, when I was a house officer, A young boy was brought to the hospital. I think the brother had injured him or something. So the father, the boy was sick. Actually, he was misbehaving. So he pretended to be sick. They brought him to the hospital. And the father, I was a house officer on that ward that day. So I got to talk to the father. The father was a police officer. And he was telling me how useless the boy has become. How he doesn't know what to do with the boy. And something in me just spoke up. I said, sir, let's leave this boy for a moment. You, first of all, must give your life to Christ before God can help your son. I'm not going to pray for your son now. I don't know what I'm going to tell you because the boy was young. By that point, like 12 or maximum 13 that time. Okay, let me stretch it a bit, 14, not more than that. I said, what is God going to do with a 14-year-old boy when the father is, God cannot even tackle the father? That you are the one that holds the keys into what comes into your home. So I said to him, listen, first of all, you must give your life to Christ. He prayed with me. In fact, next day, Sunday, I saw him in church. I said, salvation has come to this home. That is the way it starts. Let's read this from verse 11. It says, harlotry, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them. For the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God. Verse 13, they offer sacrifices on the mountaintops and burn incense on the hills, under oaks, poplars, and terebinths, because their shade is good. Listen to this. Therefore, your daughters commit harlotry, and your brides commit adultery. He said, I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trampled. He said, though you, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgal, nor go up to Beth-Evan, nor swear an oath saying, as the Lord lives. He said, for Israel is stubborn like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. Let me stop reading there. Why did I read this? You'll find out that, and you can read verses 17 and 18, in which God was talking about adultery in the nation, harlotry. And what he called adultery and harlotry was actually the worship of other gods. He wasn't speaking there about physical harlotry. He was saying that the men, the fathers, the elders in the country, what have they done? They have gone after other gods. And therefore, their children have physically begun to do harlotry. Are you getting my point? He said, for that reason, I will not punish them. Which was the reason why Jesus did not judge that woman that was caught in adultery. Because the commandment of God is simple. If the daughters are misbehaving, check what the fathers are doing. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. Listen, the first and most important point when it comes to building our families the way of God is to personally follow God and for us to follow Him fully. We say this all the time. If you tell your child to answer that phone, tell him I'm not around. No matter what you are teaching that child, you are teaching him how to lie. He said, pick that phone. Look, tell him I left it, I went out. Then on Sunday, you take the Bible and say, everybody, let's go to church. Monday morning, you start teaching them, how to tell the truth. The boy may not say anything, no. But he knows that this how to tell the truth is a sermon. Real life, we say the things that are important. You understand my point? Which is, if we don't want them to know we're around, we simply say we're not around. That's setting an example before your children. But listen to this. There are times they are not even looking at you because life, I said, is spiritual. What is going on in your heart is deciding the kind of spirit that comes into your home. I don't have all the time to develop that further. Let's just bear that one in mind. The first and most important thing, the seed, the foundation for building a strong family, God's way, is to make sure that we ourselves, parents, are building our personal lives strongly, God's way. We are feeding on the Word of God. We are taking the Word of God as more important than the traditions of our villages. We are taking the Word of God as more important than what we hear in the news. That the most important thing to us is God's Word. You don't hear the word of God and say, that one is Bible. Let's talk practical. Christians are not supposed to say things like that. We must honor God in our lives, in our prayer lives, in our attitudes to everything that we do. We must see our work. Maybe we are civil servants. We must see it as a work of God. We must see our businesses, if we are business people, as a place that God has sent us to go and be a blessing to somebody else, where we are going to establish righteousness. We must see whatever it is that we are doing as our service to God. This is the first foundation for building a strong family. Let me leave that and go on. Then number two, we must never forget to pray for our families. Let me say this, especially... let me say this quickly, all right? Before I say what I want to say. When I'm speaking, I'm going to be speaking first and foremost to men. That's the fathers. But the issue is that when God created the man and then he created Eve, the reason was so that Eve would do what? We help the man. Anything I say to the man applies to the woman, unless I specifically distinguish them. Are you getting my point? For example, if I say, fathers, pray for your children, it means mothers, join and pray for your children also. If I say, bless them, which is very important, I'll talk about that. Now, these are spiritual things. You know, long ago, something struck me. I believe in disciplining children. We'll talk about that. But I realized that you can never beat evil, that is an evil spirit, out of somebody. You can cast foolishness out, but an evil spirit, you can't. Evil spirit does not allow the person to feel pain. You see those people who are treating mad people, that they will chain them and flog them. Nobody gets well like that. Because evil spirit doesn't respond to those things. So I found out very early that the way to make sure the first thing, all right, when it comes to making your children come out well after this personal foundation, is prayer. You must wake up in the morning and pray for your children. How many of you know Kirk Franklin? Kirk Franklin is a very famous Christian musician. I have one of his CDs. I noticed that whatever he became in life, because his mother abandoned him for his grandmother, so the grandmother took over as his parent. Whatever he became in life was what the grandmother prayed for him concerning. It was his grandmother that prayed for him. She was the one that raised him up. Let's never forget that one. We must pray for our children continually. I don't mean, you know, there's a way you do things religiously. That is, it's in the morning, okay, let us say prayers. God is not listening to the prayer. You are not listening to the prayer. You just know that let's do this thing and get it over with. You understand? It's very important we do not do that. That we pray for our children continually is a crucial thing that we must do. Now, having said that, there's another one that which is an extension of praying for our children, which we also must do. And that is prophesying over them. Please open your Bible screen to the book of Numbers chapter 6. There's something you'll find in the book of Numbers chapter 6. Verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. You shall say to them, everybody say, say to them. Now, please notice this. So, he said, when you want to bless these children of Israel, you will say something to them. Before I read further, this was God's commandment to the priests. And let me explain this. The father is a priest over his children. The father is a priest over his household. The father is priest over his wife. The father is a priest over the house. He has an assistant, which is the wife also, like I've been saying. Let's never forget, this is a commandment that God has given us as parents in the home. He said, you shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. He said, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. Now notice that, he said, you will say to them, the Lord bless you. Listen to me. God said, you must say this before I can bless them. This is the practical side of it. Now, I learned this one very early in life, and God has helped me. I've been practicing it from time. The moment my children are born, the first thing I do is to pick up the child and begin to say a blessing upon the child. Let me even say this to you. The first day I married my wife, I didn't marry her a second time anyway. I mean, the first day of the marriage. You know what I did? I did the same thing. Because of time, we won't open to it. But go and read the story of the creation of Eve. You will find out that... Now, who gave the name woman to Eve? Who did? Was it God? It was Adam. If you go and read that, because of time, I don't want to go there. Go to that Genesis, around chapter 3. If you go and read that portion, you will find out that before Eve was brought to Adam, the Bible says that what happened was that God brought all the created beings, all the animals to him and said, what name will you call them? And he will give them names. And the Bible says whatever name he gave to anyone, that was his name. Then the man said, amongst all of them, there was none found to be good enough for Adam. So God said, good, now let me create something that's exactly like you, your level, your equal, you understand? Made of the same thing. And then he created Eve. And then the way he brought the animals to Adam, he brought Eve also. And this time, Adam also gave Eve a name and said, this is now flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. And said to her, a woman shall she be called. What am I saying? He blessed Eve also.